Fourth and final hour on this Tuesday afternoon. We are live here at Third and Home. First Horizon Park tonight. The Sounds have their first home opener in over 600 days. They are hosting the Memphis Redbirds. Everybody's excited. This place, people in here enjoying a nice lunch. The food is spectacular. They've got great drink specials. Fun place to hang out before a game, after a game, during the game here at Third and Home. First pitch will be at 6:35 this evening. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza. Let's say hello to Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. He now joins us. Hal, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's opening day. It's springtime. Preds are in the playoffs. What else do you want?
Right. I mean, there's just no complaints at all. So your takeaways from last night, we talked about it in postgame, but now that you've had a little bit more time to reflect, cool moment, huh? I mean, that's something we'll never forget. If you were in the building, you'll take that memory. It'll be a lasting memory.
Absolutely. That was awesome. And for a game that really didn't matter, and you're looking at a bunch of young guys coming in and, you know, trying to their last audition to be in the lineup for playoffs, they put a good effort together, and I think I didn't realize it at the time, but obviously at the end, they did it for Pex. I mean, that's what's awesome about it, right?
And yeah.
I know Pex didn't really want to make a big deal out of it, but the fans certainly did, and I think the team did as well. So that tells you everything you need to know about Pex is he just wanted to go out there and get one more dust up before the playoffs start, and he got that great reception from the fans and the team stood out there on the ice and made sure that he took his lap. I mean, what an awesome thing, and an awesome guy, awesome goalie. So that was a lot of fun for me to be a part of that one.
No doubt about it. I kind of feel like if you ever got the victory lap, you would end up doing Snow Angels or something. I mean, it would just – you would have a funny moment. I don't know what it would be, but you would come up with something clever.
He would Stone Cold Steve Austin some beers. That's what he'd do.
Could do that. That would be good.
Just crush a couple beers.
Yeah. I love
no,
it.
No, you know what? I appreciate you saying that, but, you know, you have to be something special to get something like that. And, you know, I'd love to be anywhere near Pex, but he's on a level of his own. And so that's why he gets that treatment.
You've had cool moments. You've had extreme highs in your career. What is it like? So you go through this emotional roller coaster through a game, you know, a celebration. It's probably impossible to sleep. But that next day, like waking up, what is it like as a player? You know, for them, they're waking up now. I know they're getting into the playoff mindset, but for him especially, what is that like the next day trying to process what you just went through?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just guessing, you know, and this is the way I always process those things. You go through something and you enjoy the night and you let it sink in, and maybe in the morning you kind of pinch yourself. Was that a dream? Like what is going on, you know? And then you move on. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line is I think Tex is probably looking at it as like, wow, that was awesome. Spent some time, probably celebrated. It was really cool. His son was there, and mm-hmm. he went over to say hi to him before the game started. And then he has all this going on. I'm sure he went home after and kind of sat back and took it all in and digested it. But, you know, I'm thinking right now he's just going to relax and get ready for this playoffs because, you know, you look at – I mean, not to take away from the moment, but Tex is a big part of this team, and this team is, you know, poised to do something special. And so I think that's probably his focus, as it should be. I think as a competitor, he wants to be ready. If his number's called and they throw him out there, he wants to be ready for it. So I think that's where his focus is going to turn to.
Is it as easy to say, Hal, that the last two games, that's the mindset, that's the mentality, that's the approach the Predators have to take going into this series, the way they've played these last two games?
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, going into that, the Saturday night game, that was a big game because it meant clinching. And so you have all hands on deck, and you're fired up to go and win this, and they had a great performance. And then the game last night, I'll give John Hines a ton of credit. He made it somehow where it was an audition for the playoffs. Like, he put all these guys in that he knew were going to compete. They knew that guys that don't have an off switch, they're either younger guys or they're guys like Duchesne that want to say, hey, I want to go out and put in a last effort that will say, hey, I'm important to this team. And so all those guys go out, play hard, and that's what you want out of a team. The last thing you want to do is idle down and have a kind of lackadaisical effort. You want to go out there and give it everything you got. And so Hines kind of manipulated it so that everyone that was on that ice last night was giving it everything they got. And so, I don't know how much it's going to affect the series, but they were bullies at times. And that's what I loved about it. Like, you know, Gudbranson went over and just kind of toyed with Niederreiter. And, you know, Olivier was just ready to fight anyone, just staring at everyone. And, you know, I think they had that mindset to a man up and down the lineup that they were going to go out and be bullies last night. And they did it. And 5-0, you know, sends a message, I think, whether it's your starting guys or your big guys or it's the guys that they brought out last night. It sends a message.
Hal Gill is with us. And Hal, I want you to go a little further with that because I think we're all curious of what this is going to look like in the postseason, where traditionally that's where it might have the most impact, presuming that the guys who are doing the physical intimidating can play, right? They have to be able to keep up, and that's the trick against Carolina, who's an elite skating team. But none of us can ever remember the Predators ever having that edge going in. And you just cited a number of examples from the last two games where that was clearly what they were trying to do, is sort of send messages of, from a physical standpoint, we're going to be in your face, and there's not much you can do about it. You know, that's sort of the thing. And I cannot remember a Predators team ever having that going into a playoff series. Maybe they could stand up to a team that was going to do that, but they weren't the ones sort of bringing that to the fight.
Yeah, initiating. I mean, that's what the playoffs is all about. And I used to love playing playoff games because you're getting rid of all the fluff. It's a man's game, and whether you're a skilled player or a banger, whatever you are, you got to play a hard-nosed game, and it's a fight to get to the net, and it's a battle to, you know, every time you touch the puck, there's going to be someone that's looking to run you through the boards, and so it gets rid of all the little fluff around the game, and so skilled players have to play that way. And of course, if you're a checker and you're on a fourth line, you got to go out and play that game with intention and willing to initiate. And you can see it. I mean, this team is really, their mentality is like, we're going to make these D feel our pain, feel some pain. Every time they go back and you look through every team that the Preds have played in the last couple months, I see a lot of defensemen that are just moving the puck around the boards. Like, I don't want to take this hit. I'm going to move it quick and get my hands up so I don't get crushed. And, you know, when you look up and down the lineup that you have, you know, Granlund doing it and Yarncroke going in there, not just the beast line and those guys going out and crashing and banging, it's everyone. And so I think that's the mindset that you have to have in the playoffs, and they already have it. So I think that's a good thing for the Preds, and it's been a while. So, I mean, you look over the last few years, it's always been like, oh, we're a great team. We'll win the President's Trophy, and we'll cruise into the playoffs, and they don't have that now. Now they have a hard-working, we're going to do whatever it takes mentality, and whether that means blocking a shot, they're taking a hit, or going out and giving hits, that's what they have right now. And so it's going to be interesting to see, because Carolina is going to do the same thing. We're not going to see the same team that we saw on Saturday and Monday. They're going to raise their level, and they have a ton of speed, a ton of size. They play a direct game, a heavy forechecking game. So the Preds are going to be tested like they never have been. But right now they look poised and ready to take that challenge.
Hal, the analytics expert Mike Kelly from SportLogic, he made this point against Carolina. We've talked a lot about how Nashville, you just described it really well. The defensemen, when they go after that puck in their own end, they know the footsteps are coming. They know they got to be prepared to get hit, and they may elect to just get rid of the puck quickly to avoid getting hit. But what Mike Kelly said is, statistically speaking, Carolina is a very difficult team to forecheck. So what makes a team equipped to handle a good forecheck? Because Carolina seems to have it.
Yeah, quick outs. If I have a forecheck in me and I have, you know, someone within 15 feet of me that I can bump it to, and then he gets it and bumps it to another guy, quick short passes, then that's how you beat a good forecheck. And, in the neutral zone, sometimes you can stretch it out like they did on Saturday night where they sent out stretch guys and got scoring chances after that. But for the most part, if you're going to have a heavy forecheck, you want to move it quick. And that's what Carolina does. They have, I look at a guy like Jordan Staal, for example. He is always in perfect position to be an outlet for his defenseman. So, whether it's a D-to-D quick hit to the center, right there by doing that, those two passes, you've beaten two forecheckers, ideally, right? And so they'll make those close puck support plays, and then they'll transition out of the zone, and then they have the speed to get away from the guys. Now, the thing, if you look at what Trenin does, Yakov Trenin will get in there, crush a guy, and then he'll back pressure hard. Like these guys are reloading so hard right now. And so that's going to be the battle, is how hard can they get in on the forecheck and then reload? Because if you take a second to admire your hit, that's great that you hit a guy, but they're going the other way and they're
and
going
you're out
the
of the
way
play.
Fast.
Yeah. You can't so, take yeah, yourself you know, out of
Sebastian,
the play.
Sebastian Aho, he's going to be gone. So, and they're all really good at moving that puck with speed. So the last thing you want to do as a forechecker is hang behind. You want to get back, reload hard. And you look at even Elli Tolvanen does it really well, where he's on the body and then back in the play. And that's going to be huge against Carolina, is how hard can they forecheck at the same time, how hard can they get back and reload.
We're talking to Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy, as the Predators get ready to take on the Carolina Hurricanes in the playoffs. Skillsy, you played against Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. What are some things that you can remember about going up against him and you saw as a player that have kind of translated to a coach that you see come out with his team?
Yeah, Rod the Bod. he's got just an appearance alone. You just look at him and he's got a snarl, and he looks like someone peed in his cornflakes every time he's on the ice. It's like he's just got that mentality. And what he did as a player was, you're playing against him, and it's like you're not going to outwork him. That's not going to happen. And he kind of his reputation and the way he plays, it's not going to be over. If you do win a battle, you're going to have to do it again and again and again. And I think when he came in with Carolina, remember, and Willie, I remember watching games in Carolina where it's just like they go and forecheck, and then they just fired at the net, and then a guy would crash the net, and it was just everything went to the net, and they got a ton of shots, and they kind of had that mentality when they didn't have all the skill that they have. Now they have players like Nichas that's standing out. Of course, Aho, these guys are skilled players. Svechnikov, go down the list. They have skilled players that play with that same mentality where they're going to work just as hard as their coach does. And, in the bubble last year, I don't know if you guys remember that Rod took his shirt off and was playing frisbee out in the bubble. Rod the Bod, and everyone's looking at him going, this guy's still shredded.
This guy's in better shape than we are.
Yeah, but it sends a message. It's like, guys, I know you think you're working hard, but you can work harder because watch this, Yeah, right. Hold my beer. I'll show you what hard work is. And so he's got that mentality, and I think that team has that mentality, which makes, you know, not just a skilled team, but if you can get skill and will, that's when you have something. And so that this Carolina team has that, and it's because he kind of instilled that in them.
Well, Skillsy, it's going to be a fun series for sure. We appreciate you taking the time today, and now you can go and resume your nap.
Hal, you would fit in perfect where we are right now. Remember we went to the Rangers game a couple years ago during the Stars-Predators series. We went and saw the Rangers, and we had the setup in the, thanks to our buddy Sean Henry, the beloved president, we got set up with a great all-inclusive suite where we overlooked the field from left field. Yeah. We got the same setup here at the Sounds game. You should come over here. This is perfect for
Jesus,
you.
I want to go hang out with you guys.
Well, you're always invited.
We don't
invited.
Get that at the Barrel House. Why don't we get that spread at the Barrel House?
Darren needs to work
on it.
Good
for you guys.
Nope. There's no kitchen? There's no kitchen in the Barrel House?
I had a hard time controlling myself at that Rangers game. You know, I think that was, you know, I had a good time and everyone in the stadium knew I had a good time. So I hope you guys
we all had a good time
as much as I did.
It was well known. It was not a secret.
I think Mike Minor had a good night. Good
he
time.
Yes, he
night.
Did. The question is, did Hal notice? Did it matter?
It's like, oh, yeah, there's
a
baseball
game
going on.
How that is something I remember. Mike Minor, former Vanderbilt Commodore, he pitched a really good game that night. They turned a big double play late to – and I kind of gave it a, yeah, all right. And Hal was like, you actually care what's going on in this game. You're such a nerd. I was like, I like the game. He's like, you're the only guy here watching this game.
There's nothing better than being at a ballpark just because of everything that's going on. And I guess the baseball game is part of it, too.
Yep, there is that. Hal, appreciate it as always. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. I'm going to go back to growing my beard.
Cheers.
Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. Always good to catch up with him. Good stuff as always. I want to talk to you about big names that are headlining this weekend's UFC 262 card. From Tony Ferguson to Michael Chandler, there's no shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for you for this weekend's fight that will give you 100-1 odds. Yeah, one fighter will be walking away with the belt, and you can walk away with some cash. All you have to do is just pick the main event fighter you think will win. DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 of your money on the select fighter to win. If they win, you win $100. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than put your money where your mouth is, and that's with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry. If mixed martial arts isn't for you, they've got great offers and odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more. It's safe, secure, reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. Place your bet, watch the fist fly this weekend, use that code again, 1025GAME, and be a winner and turn $1 of your money into $100. This is for a limited time. It's only a DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. All right, we've got a tweet, guys, from Jeff. What'd you call him, Willie? Passan?
Jeff Passan.
No, I know.
Passan.
I just want to know.
Like, if he were a hockey player, it might be Passan.
Jeff. Passan.
Passan.
There used to be a guy, when I was growing up, he played for a long time for a lot of teams, but he played for the Rangers, Stefan Persson. You're like, you mean Stefan Pearson? No, Stefan Persson.
Jeff Passan has tweeted out this breaking news. The Oakland Athletics will start exploring relocation possibilities after Major League Baseball has suggested the organization consider moving to other cities if the Howard Terminal Stadium proposal is not approved by local politicians. This is currently a story on ESPN.com.
Is that basically their way of saying, like, hey, we're tired of we're tired of this
getting
saga
the run around here
and getting the run. Yeah, getting
right,
the
well,
run
I mean, honestly, like, how long has this been? I mean, this has
been
going
on for decades,
forever,
decades, generations.
Let's see, I'm almost 34 years old, and I'm pretty sure it was happening
you
when
were,
I was born.
You yes. were drinking out of a sippy cup. This was a story.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, at some point, like, either you, what do they say, blank or get off the pot,
right?
Figure it out.
Because there are a ton of cities that, you know, would be like, hey, come on.
Sorry, it's lunch.
I am wondering, too, if the A's had the blessing of the commissioner to come out and make this statement publicly. Because I think the commissioner never wants to see a team move, right? It's just, you don't like that having, you don't like having that on your watch. But there does become a point where it's like, you know what? We've tried everything else. We've got to warn the city. If you want to keep this team, we've got to have this. You know, we cannot keep playing in this stadium. They've been more than patient with that park. I've been to that park. It
well,
is
we've all,
not.
Well, I've been. Yeah, I've you haven't. Been. I've been many a couple times.
I mean, it's second to last or last, depending on whether you think that is the worst or Tampa is the worst.
I've been to Tampa. I've been to both.
I've been to Tampa,
and I would say it's worse than Tampa.
Well. You're not going to get rained on in Tampa,
correct.
And you're not going to get cold in Tampa.
Correct.
You definitely are going to get cold
yes.
in Oakland during certain times
oh,
of the year.
No. Yeah. I was there in July, and it was cold. A night game.
Yeah.
It was cold.
Yeah. But you also can't tell me that the commissioner, whether he gave permission or not, that he hasn't watched the city of Oakland lose their NBA team. Their,
I was
going to
say,
NFL
has
team.
There ever been a market that lost three professional franchises? Three. They could go from three to none.
Well, I'm trying to think.
We know the Raiders are playing in Vegas now.
St. Louis has lost two.
Just so you
teams.
Know, if you didn't realize it, Golden State does not play next door.
No.
At the Oracle, they're now in downtown San Francisco.
Even though they wore a jersey the other day, it said Oakland on it on the front.
They wear those all the time.
Like they represent.
Yeah.
They still like to represent in. But it's kind of like, well, we won't play there anymore, but we still will represent.
But they're
you.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
And the A's they played a football stadium.
Right.
If
That's
I mean,
a good question.
They
though.
Would be
professional
like, there's
teams.
No way, right? There's no
Are
way.
Are you saying like, because like St. Louis lost two NFL teams. Atlanta
right,
has lost
that,
two NHL teams.
Yes. But that was one
three
that was one sport.
You're saying three different sports.
Three different professional sports.
I can't think off the top of my head.
Trying to think. Cities, you know, the Washington, D.C. lost the Senators a couple. You know, they lost two baseball teams, right? And now they have – this is their third chance at Major League Baseball. We know that.
And the football team doesn't actually play in D.C., but they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're legit. I mean, they've been there for all the time. But
As I would say the answer is no.
No, I don't think so.
Right.
Wait a minute. San Diego lost the Clippers
and
the
Chargers.
Yeah. So they've lost two.
Okay.
I think St. Louis lost the Hawks, too, so you can put them in there, football
and
basketball.
The St. Louis Hawks.
Oh, Bob Costas.
Yeah. Good
was
call.
That
a,
was no, that? He did the St. Louis Spirit.
Oh, he did
the ABA.
He did the Spirit. That's right.
Yeah, the league went under. The league went under. There was a merger. They didn't make the cut on the merger there.
So does that count?
It definitely counts.
They've never had a hockey. Well,
wow.
I got to go.
Hey, he'll take another one, a double this time.
Prince, don't play them for 1 year and we forget if they exist.
Do it on the rocks. Yeah. He'll take one. Yeah.
Wow. That was that goes up there with. When Peter Laviolette was announced as the head coach of the Predators, and I said, the Peter Laviolette era is over as it began. So that goes up there with that. Ryan, I hope you're listening.
Were you calling for a short stint?
It was one of those where it was like the wrong words just simply came out of my mouth. And I just remember Ryan Porth, who was right next to me at the time, going, just looking at me like, what did you just say? And then I look at him and I'm like, what did I just say?
I mean, at this point, if the local politicians haven't said yes, I mean.
Right.
This is probably why this is coming out. Like, what are you doing? Like, if it hasn't happened by now, does anybody hold out faith that it's going to happen anytime soon? No. Why would you?
You know, so well, here's the other end of the spectrum here. This is part of Jeff Passan's article here. While MLB has been loath to expand, multiple cities have publicly expressed interest in a franchise. The likeliest possibility, if the A's pursue relocation, would be Las Vegas. Which has found success with the Raiders, Golden Knights. Commissioner Rob Manfred has also cited Portland, Vancouver, Nashville, Charlotte, and Montreal.
Listen,
so this is where if the Nashville group has some sort of thing going, this is where you would spring into action.
Did I not say the minute Vegas got one, right?
Oh, yeah.
Once they got hockey, I said, it's over. Like, they're going to be four sports.
Within 5 years, they will have the NBA and MLB.
They'll have all of them. They will.
Because guess what? If the NBA is like, hey, we want to come out there, and a team, whether it's a team moving or expansion, it's like, well, I don't know if we want to share arena. Cool, we got you. Where you want? You want to go this end of the strip, or where you want your arena? They got room. Baseball park is the same thing.
Yeah, that'll be a four-sport town.
Like, well, I just got back from there, and where we went over to T-Mobile. Obviously, you've been there, Willie. It's in a great spot, right off the strip. The football stadium is the same thing, but you have room that you could.
You said there's room to build there.
Yeah,
Vegas?
You could do. I mean, and it's.
It's not landlocked.
It's a desert. It is a desert. And there is space.
It's great. They snap their fingers and a new building appears. It has chandeliers and everything.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, they have room to build.
We know.
And it's because I lose at blackjack. You're welcome, Vegas.
Help with the raw materials. We know from a league standpoint, it probably makes sense geographically if Vegas ends up being the logical move. But like if these other cities are, you know, really serious about getting in the game, this is where you jump in, right? This is where you jump all in and say, let me talk to somebody in Oakland. Let me talk to somebody at the A's. We want to be your destination. That's how Nashville got the Titans, the Oilers at the time.
Yeah,
they had. The groundwork was laid. Phil Bredesen was like, "We've got a plan here. You're not happy with your city? Let's talk." You know, and that's how it happened.
Well, and they started that on the hockey side as well.
Absolutely, yeah, when they built the arena,
they were already going down.
They were shopping around, saying, "Hey, you got a team?
We got
an arena."
I mean, were they not after either hockey or the NBA? Wasn't that
absolutely
kind of the idea?
They wanted a main tenant, whatever was first, right? If NBA was first, it would have been NBA.
Yep. So, and people ask, you know, we just got a text. Do you think Nashville will get an MLB team? On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. You've heard us talk about that a lot on this show. We've talked to the people at Music City Baseball and the Stars. The answer is yes, but I just don't know when. Yeah.
But I just don't think they're ready right now.
Yeah.
Well, I will say this. I'll admit, since Dombrowski left to Philadelphia, it's been kind of quiet.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same – is it fair to say it doesn't have the same feel to it?
No.
I mean, 100%. 100%.
You don't have – he was kind of the face, right? At least you had someone
– He was the juice.
Like, it's nice to keep, you know, saying, oh, Eddie George.
But
you know,
even if he
Justin
was still –
Justin Timberlake. Like, that's great just to name names. But those people are not – not – like, Dombrowski came here to be, like, the face.
Yes.
Like, okay, this is our movement. I'm kind of leading up this whole thing. Now he's been gone, and you don't really – I mean, I get emails from him, but, I mean, that doesn't
– But
he had juice.
But even
like, he had cachet.
Right. But even if he were still in the picture, I don't think that they have – they have only conceptual ideas of doing this, right? They don't have anything real ready to go. Like, I don't know where Vegas is in this. Like – if the A's announce,
I think
we're out of here at the end of this season. We're going. We can't stay here.
Vegas will go
pick your spot. But what city is ready to say, come on over? Like, because back in the day,
list again. None. I guess the answer is none.
I think you're right.
Well,
Vegas?
Define ready. Like, you already have a stadium
built? He's saying
built?
Yes, or already have started.
Vegas?
Yeah, but nobody's going to do that until they know they have a team. I would say Vegas.
You say Vancouver, Vegas.
Nashville. Charlotte, Montreal.
Yeah, no, their answer is...
Charlotte's interesting.
Like Montreal still has the old Olympic Stadium. It's there. It's you got to dust it off a little bit.
Yeah, no. Is Montreal a serious consideration, really?
I think it's more of a romantic
yeah.
love for the city, and I don't know if it's real.
Roland on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Oakland also lost hockey.
They hit the Seals. Yeah.
Yeah, they did have the Seals, yep.
Charlie Finley.
Yeah.
Yep.
They were really bad.
So Oakland is the big loser in all
so
of
So they've lost.
They are yeah. just a perennial loser of sports.
Yeah. But so to that list, I would say Vegas just because of the land. Simply just the land that they have available, that it wouldn't be like a – it's like you go find a plot of desert and go, all right, there you go.
Could you play in a AAA park for a year or two?
They just built – well, maybe, because really? They just built a new park. Like their minor league
park
out there is new.
Could you get by for a year or two while you built?
Well, I guess the Blue Jays did, right? So
yeah, I mean the Las Vegas.
The Blue Jays are playing in a minor league park
right
now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So I guess you can. The answer is yes.
Yeah, last year and this year, so I guess you could, if you spruce it up.
So
they're playing a single A park right now, Dunedin, the spring training park.
Las Vegas ballpark named winner of 2019 AAA best of.
Like it's nice to list other cities. I mean, I can't imagine. Realistically, anything
10,000.
Anybody really has a like their odds have to be pretty astronomical past Vegas and Nashville, right? I mean, they have to be 1 and 2.
But this is
in some type,
right?
I don't know what order, but they have to be 1 and 2.
But this is where you need the city with a group of people ready to jump in and pounce and say, "Here's our plan. We have our plan ready. Here's how the Oakland A's could come to our city." And I don't think that exists in this city right now.
Well, it doesn't feel like. I mean,
it certainly doesn't feel like it. Now, this is the first this story has come out, but I think people have known that this was inevitable, and I think it'll happen eventually in Tampa. The same kind of thing. Eventually, it'll hit a breaking point, and the Rays will say, either we got to have
a
new park,
they're not
or
there.
We are out of here.
Honestly, how are they not there already?
Well, when we went down to Tampa a couple times, didn't they say there's like 6 or 7 years left on their current lease?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's the time ticking there.
That place is a dump. Sorry.
But
it is.
They built it before they knew they were going to have a team, and they built it and said, you know what? If we build it, eventually somebody will come here. And it worked. They just didn't build a really nice place for baseball.
No, they did not. We've been there.
Yeah.
But here's the difference, though. Why did this come out today? Why is this out there? I mean, this is not a new story. Why is it a new story today?
Good question. Why today?
This has been, like you said, it's been going on for it's got to be decades, right? It's been so long. This story has been out there for a long time.
The
so
blessing?
Why today?
Did they get the blessing from the commissioner? That's what I wonder.
But why are they at wits end today? Shouldn't they have been at wits end 18 years ago?
Maybe they got some news from the city that they didn't like, and they were like, okay, this is the last straw.
As opposed to the other.
You're not taking us seriously.
The other 400 times they were turned down?
I don't know. Well, some of the problems in the past have had to do with territorial rights. Like they've wanted to go to San Jose.
Right.
And the Giants have that territory, and they have blocked that, right? Otherwise, I think they would be in San Jose right now. But the Giants have that territory, and the Giants were not going to let them move there. So they have had to work within Oakland, and Oakland, as we know, as a city, has not had great financial times of late. They haven't been in a position to do much. So we've seen what's happened. Eventually the Raiders are gone, the Warriors are gone, and now the A's are up.
Chase, why don't you tell everybody about some bets?
I will. Speaking of Vegas, BetMGM, I was actually in a BetMGM sportsbook about a week or so ago. You can score a major payday this May. See what they did there with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the king of sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using the code 1025GAME100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 money line wager on the Lakers or the Knicks. And if either team hits a three, you are a winner, regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're raising the stakes on basketball and hockey playoffs or wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the code 1025GAME100 to win $100 when you bet just $1 on the Lakers or the Knicks and either team hits a three. New customer offer, paid and free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
This is the end, beautiful friend.
Wrapping things up here on a Tuesday, Darren Donick and Chase. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick here with you at Third and Home as it's opening day for the Nashville Sounds. And what a night it's going to be as they are finally able to play baseball at First Horizon Park. I should say it's the home opener for the Nashville Sounds. And so you can catch that at 6:35 right or on ESPN 94.9, our sister station. So excited to be out here today, though, Willie, because it's been fun looking at the ballpark. It looks pristine.
Yes.
And then also hanging out here at Third and Home.
What did our buddy Doug Scopel say? 616 days since the last game here?
Yes.
Labor Day of 2019 is the last time they had a Sounds game here. So we are looking forward to this action tonight.
As we close things out, wanted to do something kind of fun and a little special. You know, Willie, in your career, you've gotten to call a lot of Pecorine saves, but somebody else that joined you and Pete Weber in that category is Tom Callahan.
Oh, yes.
Who is on the line with us.
He called a lot of big Pecorine wins.
Yes,
back
he did.
On the rise of Pecorine back in the day.
Tommy C., what's up, man?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
It's been a while.
It has been a while. I even got to call a couple of Pekka's games in Milwaukee the season before I came to Nashville. He was still in Milwaukee. I was in Peoria in the American League back then, and I got to see this tall, lanky, 20-something-year-old goaltender who was supposed to big thing. And, boy, we had a heck of a time in Milwaukee all year in no small part due to him, and then he pops up in Nashville, and, oh, my goodness, what a run. What a run for Pekka. And, you know, whether it's the end of it or not, I mean, whoa, there's saves that I think especially those great rivalry games against Detroit, it's incredible to think back. There's one that I think of, he robbed Pavel Datsyuk, and I just lost my mind. He's done stuff that has probably been the most exciting stuff I've seen from a goaltender in my career.
Yeah, and we saw some of that last night. I mean, it was vintage Pekka. Even though he's in a much different role now, you knew he was going to bring it last night because he hadn't played in a while, and just watching some of the things that he did, you know, throwing the stick down to make a save, it just kind of took you back to some of the things that you're talking about.
You know, and here's a guy who, for as big as he is, was always so athletic, could cover so much ground because he was that athletic. It's not just being big that is the key to success. Otherwise, you could throw anybody in net, and they'd be fantastic. But, you know, Pekka always had a tremendous sense of the puck, of tracking not only where the play was, but where it was going. Tremendous anticipation, and he knew how to use that size and that length. And you're right. I mean, last night was vintage, Pekka. It just watching him play, and I couldn't help but smile. You know, it just perfect. A shutout, the chance to really feel the appreciation from the fan has, but you know, that's got to be a special moment for the player.
Oh, absolutely. And Bridgestone Arena was rocking. You know what that can be like, and even at a limited capacity, it still was loud. So what do you think watching this team from afar as they go up against Carolina in the playoffs? What are kind of your thoughts?
You know, it's funny, Chase. It you look at how the season has gone for a lot of these teams. They're just sick of beating up on one another. It's been a weird year. You've only been in your division. And I hate to use a cliche like this, but I think a lot of times you can just kind of throw that stuff out the window, especially like that 5-0 win is huge, because no matter what you thought you knew about Carolina or you thought you knew about how Nashville matched up, now all of a sudden if you're a Preds fan, you're going, well, hang on a minute. We look pretty darn good here. And it gives you a great shot of confidence heading in, and it should. You know, it doesn't matter what you've done all season. How are you playing right now? How are your last 2 weeks? How's your health is also another big one. But And Nashville, I'll be honest, early in the season, I did not think they had it. I didn't. Yeah. You know, watching these guys play, I'm like, oh, man, I just don't see how they're getting in. And then slowly but surely, they've been getting better. They've been improving. You know, things are coming together, and this is the time to do it. So, you know what? I think it's going to be an extremely competitive series. Carolina is a deep team. They have a lot of weapons. They're probably the most underappreciated team, I think, Carolina, in the NHL, but Nashville's probably not far behind them.
Talking to Tom Callahan, who for many years called a lot of great plays, as we talked about, from Pecorine, a lot of Predators wins. And so, Tom, you were a goalie coming up through, so you could see some of the technical stuff. I'm curious, when you first started watching him play, when did you start realizing, you know, they might have something special here?
You know, Willie, and that's a tremendous question. I think once he really started to work with another throwback guy, Mitch Korn. Mitch put in so much work, and I even was a product of a Mitch Korn goaltending school, although he doesn't admit that quite as fast. you know, so it's watching him work with Mitch where he took this raw athleticism and the ability to hurl himself in front of pucks and started to not only tame it a little but hone it and give those moves a purpose and give his, you know, okay, you have this giant wingspan. What are you going to do with it? You know, you're able to get post to post quickly. How are you going to properly do that? And I think we really saw as, you know, things kind of progressed through, you know, that little bit of a Dan Ellis era for the Predators, and for those of you who may have to put on your way back hats for this one, but there was a season, I'm trying to remember if it was maybe 09-10, where, or it could have been actually 08-09 towards the tail end, where we really start to see Pekka, you know, making not only the big saves that he's supposed to make, but the even bigger ones where he's out of position and has a sense of, okay, that's where the post is. I'm getting back to the post, and he does, and he takes things away. He knows the time and space, and then he can anticipate the two-on-one pass, the three-on-one pass. It didn't take too long, but really, for me, where he was playing his best was that run that Nashville made. I think, what was that, 11-12, where they ended up losing to Arizona and really shouldn't have. You know, that team was tremendous, so much on there. And a lot of people say, well, they had a great defense. And they did, and they played that kind of style. But they were able to take chances and open up because Pekka was that rock in the back. And he just was so, so good for so long and consistent. That's the other thing that made him so good. Yes. Is he was consistent. He did the same thing night in and night out.
Todd, before we run out of time, I want everybody has got their own personal stories of Pekka Rinne away, just to sort of illustrate what kind of person he is, you know, that you don't see. Although Stu Grimson made a point last hour, it was great. He said, you know, of all the people that were in there last night, I'll bet you half of them had a personal experience with Pekka because he's always out there somewhere. But what's your favorite Pekka Rinne story behind the scenes?
So I actually have two of them. Number one was Pekka and I could sit and talk for 20 minutes just about gear. Every time he got new pads, we would talk about the pads and like what his modifications were and what he was doing with the manufacturers and the companies and everything. And we always talked about his masks. And so I love talking gear with Pekka, like just nerding out on that stuff. But the other one is I ran into him at a Lumineers concert at the Ryman. And there were a couple of the other guys there, but he was there. I think it was his girlfriend at the time. I don't know if they were married. And then, you know, I was there with my girlfriend, and we just talked. Normal people, great guy, like salt of the earth. And that's who Pekka is. And he's not a guy who's ever going to complain. He's not a guy who's ever going to really show you his frustrations, but he's just a normal, down-to-earth human being who is a superhuman hockey player. And I'll always remember kind of talking to him at that Lumineers concert just about some music and, you know, occasionally we talk Finnish metal, that kind of thing. And that's what I remember, about a lot of these guys, but him in particular is just the person he is. And that's always going to be what I'm going to take with me outside. The highlights will always be there for me to watch, but that's what I will remember.
Absolutely. Hey, Tom, it is a pleasure to talk to you. It's been a while, and thanks for calling in and sharing some memories.
Absolutely, guys, and good luck to the sounds of the ballpark today. Nothing like being outside in the sunshine and playing some ball.
Absolutely. He is Tom Callahan, longtime broadcaster, and, of course, an alum here at 102.5 The Game as well. That's a great way to wrap up the show. We appreciate Third and Home and the sounds for having us here today as they open their ballpark again tonight. 6:35 first pitch. You can hear pregame starting at 6:20 on ESPN 94.9. Stick around. Stillman and Company. That's next. Closing time. Open all the doors and let you